Greetings and welcome to episode 5. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am an award-winning educator, motivational speaker, 4-time Amazon best-selling author, radio show host, magazine contributor, and coach. In addition, I am the president, CEO, founder of my own educational consulting company, Dr. Essie Speaks LLC. I assist you in elevating your leadership skills so that you can turn your challenges into opportunities, failures into successes, ensure that responsibilities are fulfilled, and enhance your capacity. Today's topic is a child's environment. A child's environment is so important and critical to their success, no matter what setting, what the socioeconomic status of the family may be, what level of education, or what family they are born in. I recall when I was a school principal, I would share with my staff, it does not matter where the kids come from, what money their parents may or may not have, or what their last name may or may not be. We have a duty to educate our kids and provide the best possible education. I not only shared that, but I lived that each day I operated as a school leader. For example, my own parents did not graduate from high school. My father stopped in the 9th grade, and my late mother stopped in the 8th grade. But they made sure that we knew about going to college and getting as many degrees as we could possibly get. Even though my parents did not have a high school education, they provided a rich, nurturing environment. Yes, I grew up from very humble beginnings, but my parents emphasized being a good person, working hard, and again, getting an education. Today, I am so grateful for the way my parents raised me and what they instilled in me. I am a living example that a child's environment is critical to their success. As many schools around the nation are getting ready to end distance learning and kids will be home for an extended period of time during the summer, it is important that parents focus on building character traits, emphasize the importance of an education, provide love and support, and give their kids all the essential ingredients that will withstand and propel them to be their best and do their best. There are many studies to show that a child's home environment has long-term effects on their development, as well as a profound effect on their well-being. If children are in a problematic home environment, it can disrupt the brain's stress response system, interfere with healthy development, and present a host of developmental problems. I served as a principal of many highly impacted schools and saw firsthand some of the implications when students came from environments that were challenging. We had to put strategies in place to address the needs of children who may have come from environments that were detrimental to them being their best and doing their best. In my book, The Heart of School Transformation, My Journey into Transforming Urban Schools, I discussed effective strategies and talked about educating the whole child. We all know that schools will not be successful today if they do not address all aspects of educating students and parents. And our parents have to do the same within the home environment. They have to have parenting skills from all angles. I remember some of the things that we had to work hard to address, such as language development. Kids came in deprived of basic language skills. Some had behavior problems, lack of appropriate social skills, just overall deficits in school readiness, and impaired cognitive development, just to name a few issues. There are studies to support that kids who grow up in environments that are disadvantaged causes the brain to develop differently. I recently read a study by the Urban Child Institute that provided some of the following information to support what I've shared already. And they stated that a child's living environment can be affected by chaos and poverty. This can lead to changes in the brain stress system that increase a child's likelihood to getting chronic diseases later in life. studies of very young children have identified distinctive patterns of brain activity associated with family income and socioeconomic status, especially in brain areas related to social and emotional development, language ability, and learning and memory. The home environment can affect a child's brain development. Research has identified specific aspects of a child's environment that are associated with later outcomes. All of this will impact a child's academic performance, cognitive development, and social and emotional well-being. This study also noted that the importance of children's early environment means that reducing and eliminating later gaps in achievement must begin early in life. Effective interventions need to start long before children reach kindergarten. The earlier, the better. Trust me, I've experienced it, and I know from firsthand experience as a school leader. Again, a child's early childhood requires the utmost attention for children's growth and development to be at its optimal. Right now, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and when I come back, I will continue with my discussion about a child's environment and what can be done from a school's perspective. Remember to check out my website at www.DrEssieSpeaks.com. I'll be right back.
Hey, Jay, stay with us.
Hey, this is Cindy Chandler Monet of Perfect Timing, and I'm so excited to share some good news about what's coming for us. And what I mean by us is us teenagers and the youth of the community. So let me share the good news. I'm a teen host of a podcast that I named Perfect Timing. There's no perfect timing than speaking on it now. It is time for us to expose our own platform that we carry with us every day. Only this time, we hold the mic. We will come together as peers to share our passions, dreams, achievements, challenges, and to maximize our purpose. Why let them talk for us when we are the one manifesting in our own perfect timing? Do not let this opportunity pass you by when we are navigating our own destiny. We control our own validation by tuning in to hear our truth where we are creating a voice for us. That is right. You heard it from me first, your host, Sydney Chandler Monet of Perfect Timing, where you can find us on multiple international broadcasts, Elite Conversations, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. The reason why I'm passionate about this project is because I want our voices to be heard. We are in the position to be able to speak about our own values. I'm a freshman in high school with a very rigorous schedule, just like most of you. But we have to find balance to be a part of the conversation. I have a love for the arts, and I have learned how to use my platform to motivate and support peers who feel like they don't have a voice. As I've been studying ballet for almost 7 years, it has taught me a lesson or two. It has taught me how to have discipline, perseverance, dedication, and to have leadership. And I've used that every single day. It has taught me so much about myself and how to go on with life. So I want to use what I've learned to give my peers the confidence to stand in their own truth. So a couple things about me. I am a teenager like everyone else in the world where I'm just going through the motions. And right now during this pandemic, I don't really know where to move or where to look for something to do. Because there's only so much we can do, because as a minor, there's not much that I can say or do to impact the community, because people might say I might not have that much experience or something to put into the equation. But really, I want to start changing that mindset and letting everyone know that I have the power to impact someone, to fix the problems that are going on. So don't forget to join in every Monday at 2 p.m. where we're going to have great guests with great topics. This is Cindy Chandler Monet of Perfect Timing. Hope to see you there.
Hey, Jay, stay with us.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education.
I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Welcome back to Dr. Essie Speaks Education, your host, Dr. Essie McCoy. As I continue my sharing, let me share some effective tips for school leaders that they can embed into their practice. A school leader cannot operate from the mindset that they will change a child's home environment, but they must focus on what they can do in the context of the school setting. I refer to some of the leadership training I've received turning high poverty schools into high performance schools, all of which I've done. And this is really by William Parrott and Kathleen Budge, but I can tell you I'm going to share some of my experience all along the way. First tip, high poverty schools can involve students' families through home visits and by joining the community safety net to provide social and medical service. Definitely, this is something I did when I was a school-based leader. Secondly, parents must build trust with schools and educators must build trust with parents. Relationships are the lifeblood of activity in a school community. The development of trusting relationships is at the heart of being connected to parents, families, and the community. The third tip, create full-service schools and safety net. I have worked in schools where we had health centers on campus, nurses, doctors, social workers, dentists, vision and hearing specialists, family counselors on site, a family resource center, hunger, homelessness, support to assist families in meeting their basic needs. And those are just some of the safety nets that you can create. There are so many more based on the needs of your students and the school community in which you serve. Fourth, create links between school and home. Strengthening the family's ability to support their children's academic achievement and other forms of success in school. I remember having Saturday Academy for students and even parent academy. That's right. We had parent academies where parents would learn English or vice versa, learn Spanish, or just work on a GED. Schools can focus on language development, parenting classes once again, early literacy, sharing with parents about how they teach. Teachers can do that. Just a wide range of focus areas based on the needs of students and families. Fifth, offer mentoring to students. I can tell you, I've been the principal at the elementary level and the middle school level and also worked in a high school setting. And I've always had a mentoring program in place. And the National Dropout Prevention Center identifies mentoring as one of the most effective strategies to keep kids engaged in school. Each one touch one and reach one. We have to be committed to our kids. Tip six, provide opportunities for community-based and service learning. Allow students to support their community and vice versa. The community supporting the school. Students need that real-world problem based beyond school, community-based learning, particularly service learning. There are so many benefits for students, parents, and the community. Tip seven, don't be afraid to conduct home visits. I recall early on, before school would even start on those professional development days, I would put my whole staff in cars or buses and we would go out to the communities and just connect with students and just say, welcome back. We look forward to having you. This builds closer connections to students' home lives and impacts so many facets of what we do in schools. I noticed a decrease in discipline referrals, increase in relationships, increase with parents sharing with us authentically what their needs were and what was going on and how we could help them, as well as reduce the achievement gaps and increase attendance. And there are so many other factors and success indicators that can be brought about because of those home visits. Tip 8, ensure effective two-way communication. We know that a whatever it takes attitude prevails in schools. When you communicate with the parents and parents are communicating with you and the whole family, you feel as if it is a school community. There is unity within your school community. Tip 9, use the school as a community center. Open the doors and expanding schedules to offer whatever it is needed, whether it's club or parent support and education, early childhood activities. I mentioned earlier about GED programs, advisory groups, community education classes, and a host of other events and activities of interest to the community. This was so critical to the success I experienced as a school leader. And anybody who worked in my school with me, for me, we worked on behalf of the school and the community, and we provided wraparound services. I know right now that school leaders will take time to reflect on this unprecedented school year and gear up with even more effective strategies to meet the ever-changing needs of students in the future. Remember what we do. Education is hard work, H-A-R-D, but it is also heart work, H-E-A-R-T. Thanks for listening, and remember to visit my website at www.drsespeaks.com, where you can find all the links to my podcast and all my social media platforms. Join me each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. for Dr. Essie Speaks Education. Until then, please be safe and be blessed.